whatever you want to call it, is fine. I just don't know what the environmental impact may be once we start getting involved with the soil analysis down there, especially when you start talking about changing the traffic patterns and changing the roads down there. When the city went to do the replacement of the bulkhead, we spent a lot of time engineering it and putting the existing bulkhead as close as we could to what we knew at that particular time of the soil conditions under the building. So we really don't know how many seawall or walls are there. So just a point of reference. When the city made the decision to take down the metal building that was down there, was where the employee parking lot is, or Tidewater water sport parking is, it was imperative, and it was at my suggestion, that we don't touch the slab of that building because it was so close to the creek bed there. So when we removed that building, I thought it was imperative that we leave that slab there intact since it's so close to the water there. So I think a lot of time and effort has been put into bringing people up to speed, and it's great that everybody's getting up to speed. And I think that the focus needs to be that we've owned it for 20 years. I mean, we are the owners. I mean, we're bringing up other owners up to speed on what we decided to buy 20 years ago. And I think we have to keep the history intact of why we bought it for the first place and make improvements for the future. It's not an easy task. Not everybody's going to be happy, but I think if we lose sight of some of the key factors down there, the drainage down there has been stopped up since I got involved 20 years ago. Those grates have always been stopped up, and maybe they're stopped up for a reason, so the water doesn't backflow through the system. So I don't have all the answers. I put in my time, and you know, it's your time to make the decision, and all you can do is put forth the facts and let the voters vote. So I'm available if you have any, you know, questions or concerns, or if I can answer anything. I'd be happy to, and appreciate your time.
Thank you. Anyone else?
I'm Marina Tennis.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, any more citizens' comments?
That's
it.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Okay then.
Philip. Nope. You talking?
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't have to jump at once.
Came to say good morning, everybody. It's been a while.
Right.
I know you guys miss me. Thank you for your time. Thank you for all the hard work. I know this marina's consumed a lot more than anybody ever imagined from the time we bought it as a township. My name is Philip Smith. I live at 8 Intracoastal Court. I am a neighbor to the marina. I understand last meeting you guys decided to not temporarily relocate the Tidewater Sports farther away from our property, probably due to financial reasons, I would imagine. I guess Coastal Expeditions is down there now with a trailer right down on that dock, working pretty well out of that dock from what Brian said. And if it comes to money, why wouldn't Tidewater Sports work just as well as they would in the same type of scenario? This doesn't only benefit the buffer that we have there, but what it might do for the marina redevelopment is have some feedback on the parking and the new location that you guys have picked for them, to see how well it works down that way compared to how well it works where it's at. You know, it may backfire in my position. You guys may say it doesn't work there and it has to stay there, and that would really hurt me. But I think at the end of the day, it would be beneficial to put them where they're gonna go now while you redevelop the marina, and see over the next 3 years how well that works. I know that their lease has a certain amount of parking spots, and that has to be worked out somehow between everybody. But at this time, next summer, you'd get a good feel for how the hotel, I mean, the restaurant parking, Brian's parking, and their parking all intermingles like it's going to in the new plan. Right now, they've got a little pocket down there they work out of that helps them. But in 3 years, when the marina's done, you know, what do we really know how that's going to work out with all the parking down there? Do we, you know, or even say, here's 8 spots for you guys, like your lease says, here's 2 for your employees, figure it out, guys. And it could be a real big problem at the end of the day for everybody down there if you can't contain it to what you guys wanted it to be. I guess whoever negotiated that lease a long time ago understood the parking down at the marina, and that's why they were only allowed 8 parking spots. At times they need 20, 30, or 40 when they're real busy, so is that going to work with the new plan? Maybe it would be a good test to find out how you're going to deal with that with, if we move forward with these drawings and we spend all this money and we allocate the space, does it even work well? Or do we need to rethink, you know, where their position is in the marina? I'm not saying to get rid of those guys, okay? I know they verbally wanted to make me a bad guy here. I just want to create a decent buffer between the most active business at the marina and our property. You know, that's all I've asked for 5 years now, 4 years, however long it's been. You know, their lease has doubled almost from the time I moved in that house in 2000. You know, when Ryan owned it and it had 6 or 8 jet skis out there, it was a pretty quiet place. There was no building out there. He had a tarp, and that was it. And they were open for 4 or 5 months a year. He was quiet. They were always polite. The business, I'm not saying the guys aren't polite now, but the business has grown to 16 jet skis and a lot more boats, and it's really very impacting. I mean, it's very impacting during a busy time in the summer, and for 3 more years of that, you know, it's a lot to endure after the last 13, you know. So what I'm asking is if you guys reconsider looking at how you could do it in a more financially conservative way that works for the town, and it gives you guys some good feedback on the plan moving forward, which is, you know, all the parking down there from the marina for the golf carts and for their business and for the eco tours and everybody else that's in that area. Is that going to work on Saturdays and Sundays very well, or is it going to blow up and be a problem? So just thought I'd throw that out there as some consideration for you guys as we move forward with the plan, and hope things work out good for all of us. I'm all about the marina being redone in a way that I think that is more welcoming to the residents to be able to use more boat slips and have more access to it. So you know, I'm in favor of doing things in the best way we possibly can figure out. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Under, oh, sorry. Comments from Mary McKenna?
Sure.
I'm Shane Ziegler.
Yeah. Okay.
You have another citizen?
No, that's okay. We'll go back.
Okay. All right. My name's Shane Ziegler. I'm owner of Barrier Island Eco Tours, and started Eco Tours in '97. Had a boat at the marine yacht harbor, Wild Dunes, and since '98, and moved to Isle of Palms in '87. And just seeing the whole progression of the marina, and just seeing what it was, what it is now, and how organized it has become from what it was. And I think Brian's done an excellent job down there at the marina. But the plans, these are the best plans that I've seen to date. You know, I think the main issues at the marina has been the parking, the flow, the safety. It's a real safety hazard with everybody entering that one place, all the big trailers, buses, cars, all the trucks supplying the marina, and pedestrians and bikes. And so I think y'all have done a great job addressing that, having separate different areas, you know, for the buses and the trailers, a separate area for customer parking for my business and the store, and then a separate area over there for the restaurant. So that's, and then the pedestrian walk all through the marina, throughout the marina, is great. It's seems like a very simple plan, and it's looks like it's giving more parking for everybody, for residents and for trailers, and in the, I guess, one of the, get on track here. So yeah, the parking lot, and then all the parking issues, and then the docks have been in disrepair for a long time. I think, you know, when the Finches sold it, they knew they were going to sell it, and they were already in disrepair. And you guys done a good job putting Band-Aids on it, but it needs the constant. It is also a lawsuit waiting to happen. It's constant nails popping up. Docks are getting even. I see my customers tripping on it, stepping on nails. And, you know, all these businesses at the Isle of Palms Marina are what I believe makes, we need all these components of the marina for it to run, for it to have a nice, beautiful store, nice place to go. We need these businesses, and we need good docks. Docks are going to be built strong to withstand a big hurricane, storm surge, strong piling, so businesses and residents have a marina to come back to. So anyway, the plan I think is great. It's addressing the docks. It's giving a better flow to the parking lot and making it safer. And it's organizing the businesses at the marina better, putting all the fishing guides in one spot, the eco tours over here, tidal wave coastal expeditions, and the parking. Everything is going to be better organized. And as far as the plans for Bear Island Eco Tours docks, we've got the two 45 foot by 13 foot pontoon boats. And if you look at the plans, we've just got, we're butted up next to each other. There's no pier in between our two boats. So I see that being, as we come around and pull in and we have one boat there, and you're trying to pull in against wind and tide, trying to come in and not hit the other boat is going to be difficult. We really need a pier head in between there. And that makes it safer, you know, if we have a boatload full of passengers that's about to load it up, and then you have another boat trying to come in, and it's just it's a safety issue as well. So I'd like for you guys to take another look at that, where we're docked down there. We're, you know, probably the most active business and the most year-round business on that side of the store there. And also right now we've got the little tiki hut right there in the parking lot where we're checking people in, and that's been a huge help in keeping us, our employees being out there in the parking lot, directing flow, having a place to check in people, give people parking passes, and just keep everything organized. And I didn't see anything on the new plans where we have something. You know, Coastal Expeditions has a check-in area, Tidal Wave has a check-in area. We're busier than both of those businesses year-round, so we need to have, would really like to have something there for us to check people in and keep things flowing. And then just to go back, because I've heard different citizens' comments about parking, we really try to help out with the, we're very sensitive on the, with the parking. You know, we're doing about 12,000 students a year. It's mostly during the spring and the fall. They're coming during the week, coming by bus. So even though we're doing a huge number of kids, it's not during the busy time of year where parking's a problem. So I don't think we're adding the problem in that way. And then on the, we completely shut down on Memorial Day weekend. We don't run, we do one Saturday morning trip, that's it. We don't do anything on 4th of July. The solar eclipse, we didn't do any trips because we knew parking was going to be a nightmare. It was going to be a nightmare out there. On weekends during the busy season, we only do one Saturday morning trip and one Sunday evening trip. So we're really, when the parking is high use from people in the area using the marina, I don't feel like we are a big issue with the parking situation. We try to be real sensitive about that, even though we could on the weekends be running a different sort of service. And for one, on the busy weekends, you can't do a decent eco tour out to Capers Island because it's so crazy out there. So we don't really even attempt it. That's one reason. And then, but the parking's a nightmare. But we could still be running party shuttles out, dropping people off. I mean, we could have a big business doing that. We don't.
Thank you for not doing that.
Yeah, we don't do that. We don't do shelling trips or just go out and look at dolphins. They're all very educational. My staff is I've had most of my staff for 8, 10, 12 years plus, and they're not kids working for me. These guys are biologists, some have their masters or ex-teachers, and this is their career. They have families. This is what they're doing for their living full-time. And it shows up in the quality of our trips, experience the kids are getting, the experience that tourists are getting, locals are getting. I believe that Bear Island Eco Tours is an asset to the Isle of Palms, and the citizens of Isle of Palms should be proud to support a business that is educating so many of our school children, local and across the state. And I think that's about it there.
So while you're taking a pause, I just want to let you know that my family and I were customers last evening.
Okay.
And John and Catherine, mm-hmm. did a phenomenal job.
Great.
You know, grew up on the beach and have lived here for 40 years, and I still learned something.
Good.
And it's great the way you can cue those dolphin lights.
Yeah, they're on payroll.
Yeah, it was absolutely fabulous.
Good. I'm glad you got to experience it.
Shane, will you stay after? Because there's a couple things I want to talk to you about.
Okay, sure.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you,
sorry,
Shane.
We have some more citizens' comments.
Nope. Okay.
I'm a marine attendant.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
I'm Chris Crowley, the owner of Coastal Expeditions, and we are marine attendants. And my home address is in Allendale at 6485 Come About Way. So thanks for hearing our comments. I want to say something about Bear Island Eco Tours before I get into my thing. It's such a pleasure to have that operation out there, or just at all in general. And it's been, I'm just so proud of what Shane has done with that company and the service they provide, and to see them do what they're doing. And we would be, our companies have a very similar Venn diagram overlap. You know, we're about the environmental education, and we could be perceived as competitors. But every time I need something and call Shane, he's right there for me. Like, I borrow boats and stuff, you know? And that reciprocity exists back, you know, the other way too. And I'm just, you know, to watch him have his kids and his family grow up and his business thrive and all that sort of thing. It's just like, like whatever they need, do that for them. You know, it's just a good thing that it exists.
GoFundMe.
Yeah.
So, I'm here to represent the interest of Coastal Expeditions at the Isle of Palms Marina, and I'm learning more as apolitical and non-government as I want to be, that I got to show up at these meetings, you know, to stay current, to stay sort of relevant. I've got to show up at the meetings and stay educated, know what's going on, show up at the council meetings, and sort of have a voice. As a company, we've existed as a almost like planktonic in a way. So like the definition of plankton is it has no, it just goes with the current. You know, it just goes with the current. It's not self-propelled. And so I'm trying to put a stop to that. I'm trying to have a new, more mature way to deal with our future at the Isle of Palms Marina. We, Coastal Expeditions has been offering environmental, low impact environmental tours at the Isle of Palms Marina since 1992, well before a lot of the changes and upgrades and management and things that are going on there now. We would like to continue to do that. We find it to be a great avenue to promote our mission statement of environmental education, and we are part of the Isle of Palms community. I've lived on the Isle of Palms before, although I do not live here now. I guess I missed my chance. But the impact that we, the contributions we make to the community include the South Carolina Outdoor Education Program, which is a family foundation funded program that takes thousands of school kids out in kayaks every year, So the if many of the residents of the Isle of Palms children or grandchildren have been in kayaks with coastal expeditions, and we're proud to be able to be in a position to receive that and to actually pull it off. It's like a conducting the train wreck with the circus on board. But we do it really, it's like amazing. I can't believe how well we can organize that and get it done. Our history at the marina for a long time, our headquarters is in Mount Pleasant on Shim Creek, and it still is right beside the Shim Creek Bar and Grill. And we would come to the marina with trailers of kayaks and put that in the water. And for a long time, that was no issue. That was just not a problem. And I convinced the resort at Wild Dunes that they also should look at this phenomenon of sea kayaking as a good amenity for their guests. And they finally were like, we'll try it. So we have been in a relationship with them for a long time, under contract, with a brief interval of no contract, but now with a contract again. So we also service the visitors of the Isle of Palms and make it a more attractive, perhaps, place to come and visit. So that's also a contribution we make. As we were doing business, another business called Low Country Kayaking came into existence, and right beside the boat landing, and it was Brian Berrigan and Jeff Girard, I think, is who that business was, and they kind of took a run at it, and I think they were doing some pretty good work, and I'm not sure exactly why their business came to an end, but they decided they weren't going to do it anymore. So I basically bought that business from Brian and Jeff and dissolved it, and it became Coastal Expeditions. And we were right there with a place to be and plenty of storage, kind of on that beach where the Performing Arts Center at the Morgan Creek Grill is now. And so we were there, and we were thriving, and it was all going well. And then, for whatever reason, our business facility got moved to the other side of the marina, and so we just moved over to the other side of the other side of the landing.
Like the ramp.
So we moved over to the other side of the ramp, and we did that, and we built racks to store stuff, and then we were sovereign there, and then we got golf cart rental moved in with us. I was like, well, okay, now we're going to share the space. And then weren't able to do it, or it didn't work for them for some reason. And then a paddleboard business moved in with us, and so we're sharing the space again. And then there's all this while we're seeing the frequency of power boaters at the ramp increase. And I don't know why people get in. If you ever want to slow down before you do something, slow down right before you put your boat in the water, mm-hmm. and take three breaths right before you put it back on the trailer. Mm-hmm. You know, just slow down. It's a industrial mechanical thing that's happening. Mm-hmm. I know all about it. I do it for a living. But why people get in such a hurry and delve into their inner sailor vocabulary at a boat landing, it's just beyond me. It's just beyond me. There's no kindness there. And I see it, and it's not just at the Isle of Palms boat landing. It's endemic to every boat landing, where somebody three deep in line gets out, sees kayakers down there, and drops the F-bomb, and then gets God involved. And it's just ridiculous. So anyway, we're aware of that, and we are aware of the congestion and the traffic at the marina, I guess it was less planktonically, moved over to where we currently are, but all in good faith and all self funded, we moved from where we are from where we were to where we are, which left us with zero facility in a far off spot, with no real launching facilities. So we got that trailer, the infamous trailer, and thank you for your patience with that and your consideration on that. I appreciate it. We had to purchase equipment to store, like storage, custom-built storage racks, floating dock facility to launch from, and it was not inexpensive. It was, as much as I can tie it down, it cost us about $14,000 to make that move, which is about 35% of our GDP at the Isle of Palms Marina, right? We limit our inventory out there, so we're not trying to put, like, if we could, we're trying to put 40 people on the water a day, not 400 people on the water a day, and that goes to the quality quantity thing. Every once in a while we'll get a corporate group or something like that that wants to put 40 on at a time, but that's rare. That's sort of the exception to the rule. We'll move inventory out and then take it away. So we, as far as I know, the whatever frustration there might be at the boat landing now isn't caused by self-powered vessels. You know, it's just the normal frustration. Our current location is the working out of a trailer, just simply working out of a trailer isn't the culture of coastal expeditions. It's not really what we want to do, but it was the only solution we could think of at the time. And that's where we are, and that's what we're doing. But it doesn't kind of represent, it doesn't represent us the way we'd like to be represented. So the model of the way that we would prefer to be represented would be much more like the facilities of Tidal Wave, where there's a pier head and a closed structure you can close and lock and then walk down to the dock that's especially designed to do what we do, like theirs is. And I also watched Tidal Wave. Mr. Phillips was commenting earlier, and they have grown. They're successful. They're thriving at the marina. They went from no power boats to 3 or 4 power boats, and from 6 jet skis to however many jet skis. And our business is what they do and what we do. Although I completely respect the entrepreneurial spirit and the water fun and that sort of thing, but the jet ski versus kayak is kind of like Ali versus Frazier or something, except for it's not like that. It doesn't mix very well. So imagine you're with a group of 6 kayakers up secluded Seven Reaches Creek, and you found that little tributary, and the tide's falling out just enough to trap some mud minnows and brine shrimp in this little pool, and the wood storks figured it out before you got there. So you got about 14 or 16 wood storks, and they're feeding and sweeping their beaks, and you're, you know, from here to the window and watching it, and people are really getting turned on by it. And then 8 jet skis come screaming down the creek. You know, it changes the aesthetic of the experience. So just as an analogy, your counsel is more wise than my opinion on what should happen for or with Tidal Wave, but so you know, that's the relationship between kayakers and jet skis. So the idea that we would put jet skis right next to kayakers in a plan is sort of perhaps not the best scenario, maybe not. But we do get along with everybody. Coastal Expeditions does get along with everybody. We pride ourselves on relationships and having good and honest relationships. Under the new plan, where we are placed under the marina redevelopment, we can make that work. You know, it's like that's what I've always said. We can make that work. We would just request some structure so that we can walk into a space and have some shade for my employees. I would be willing to move the trailer out of there, and you would never see it again. You know. And nor would the folks that don't like seeing it now. But some structure, much like Tidal Wave has, and then as you get down to the floating dock, we would request some consideration on working with the designers on how to mount our racks to store our stuff. And a kayak takes a lot less buoyancy than a powerboat does for a dock. Like, you want it to be close to the water so you can kind of get in the boat and out of the boat better. So there'd be a custom design involved with how that dock was built, with less flotation and that sort of thing. So having our inventory down by the water so we can handle it there, running water so we can wash the salt off of it, a place for my employees and me to be that's shaded, a place to house our guests so that they're not cooking in the sun. All of those sort of considerations would be in the request. And yeah, I've have some paper I'm going to leave with you all. The launching facility, important consideration. The I also am very proud of what Brian Berrigan has done at the marina, and with his redeveloping, most recently in my mind is the redevelopment of the ship store. I mean, that looks great. It really looks great, and it didn't before. It didn't look great before. It looked like a
kangaroo.
Yeah, it looked like a 7-Eleven in Alkaloo or somewhere. It just didn't look like anybody really cared about it, and now it does. It was very well themed out. It's artistically done. It's made out of real high quality materials. The people that work in there do a great job and are friendly, and there's great product, and all that just adds to create the culture of the marina as a whole. Before it was bringing it down, and now it's bringing it up. I was around for a lot of the existing marina redevelopment, the bulkheads and that sort of thing. But here's what I wish that I could, that Brian weren't so busy, so that I could get with him and talk with him about stuff. So what I'm about to say, I need to have a meeting with Brian, which I'm trying to get. But when I became more aware of the idea that tidal wave water sports is a tenant of the city, not a tenant of the marina, and then their rent rate, I thought, wow, that's awesome. That's the best deal I've ever heard of to store all those power boats and have a waterfront location and guaranteed parking. It's just out of this world. That'd be great for my business too. What I wouldn't mind getting into a discussion with, if you all ever had the appetite for it, and I bet having tenants for the city isn't the most pleasant thing all the time. I bet it's damn frustrating more of the time than it's not, I would guess, having to steward that and having to work those relationships and having to dovetail them into each other. I mentioned it in a meeting, and then I mentioned it to Brian. Text was how I could get in touch with him, and I said I was thinking about asking the city to be a tenant of the city or for their consideration on that. And his response was, I would fight that vigorously, and I'm surprised that you would even bring it up. And I don't know why he would be surprised that I would bring it up, because I've been forced to share space, pushed around here to there at the marina, can't get a meeting, and my rent tripled when I had to move. I mean, we're being charged as if we're having two 25-foot powerboats parked at the marina, plus 5% of our gross revenues. And it's we're paying far more for far less than our closest on-water neighbor. And if we got out of those spots, Brian would be able to rent them right back for the rate that he charges, which is a fair rate. So sort of what I fear is here's my concern. We get into a position where we are able to build Coastal Expedition something really nice that represents the company and all that sort of thing, and then Brian's going to go, that's really nice. Here's your rent, and it's like, is there no kind of sovereignty? Is there some way we could still pay Brian 5% or pay to park, but become a tenant of the city on this, with this new structure, with this new move? And we wouldn't have to share the space with a golf cart rental or whatever that sort of culture is. So honest relationships is our creed. So I've got it on my schedule to try to get a meeting with Brian again today. Just get on his calendar, and I would say to him the same thing that I've said here. And so that's I'm not trying to make problems or anything like that. Just as a businessman, the being a tenant of the city would be better than not. It would be more security. It would be a I can't get a lease that lasts more than a year out there. It's like it would be a better. It'd be better for my business and better for the families that, the people that support their families that work in my business. So, gosh, you guys are really patient with that. I went on and on. And,
so you're going to leave that in writing, right?
Yes, ma'am. I have it all right here, and I just made two copies in in the saving paper thing. But thank you for your time.
Thank you, Chris.
Now, moving on to old business, update of public restrooms and boardwalk.
Yes, sir. Ask Douglas to be here so that we can chat this through. I will say that Leolio's contract is pretty much spent out. That's the designer on the project. What we asked them to do, we're at the ceiling of the money.
Not the actual.
No, not the actual.
Because that's
ceiling,
one of the things we're doing.
For
right?
those things that we contracted for, we have spent all of that money, and so we're right there at it. And you know, we're faced with moving forward now and making some decisions about what to do next. So with Douglas, I'll let you take it up.
Okay. So I get cloudy on who I've told what, but I think that we've talked about the fact that we went out to bid for that project. Bids came back in. They were we only got one. It was higher than what we expected. Significantly higher. The amount bid on the restrooms exceeded half of the value of the restrooms, which makes it, even with all of the bid was arranged to have deductions built in to, if we needed room to get it under the 50% cap, we were hoping that those deductions would get it under the 50% cap, so we'd scale it back to the point that it would fit under the cap and then proceed. Even with all the deductions, it didn't fit under the cap. So for various reasons, for lack of response in the pricing that we got, and really we didn't have a high level of faith in the accuracy in talking with the contractor about the bid. There's some unique things about the way the boardwalk was built, and we got the sense that the bid that we received was kind of not a very sharply figured bid. So we've gone back out to bid. We're requesting. We did get some feedback from potential bidders telling us why they did not bid. We knew that at least four people had the plans or considering bidding, and they didn't. So we got feedback from them about why they didn't, and it basically had to do with unusual sizes of lumber, and they couldn't get lumber yard pricing back in time. So it was kind of just a time crunch. So we're hopeful in going back out to bid, we'll get more bids, more accurate bids. Hopefully we'll be able to proceed with the restroom, but we did structure it when we went back out. We did structure it so that if we had to, we could only do the boardwalk portion of it. And that may not be the worst thing, because the flood maps will be changing in 2018, at the end of 2018. And we haven't really explored what it means for us, but we do know it's going out of a V zone into an A zone. And it's going into a new flood zone that we've never had, which is an AO zone, which talks about just ponding. So it may be a different scenario on the building anyway.
I mean, it seemed to me, and I don't know why I haven't brought this up in the past, but we're talking apples and oranges. The boardwalk shouldn't really reflect the 50% of the restaurant, right. Should it?
That's correct. Well, the boardwalk is, that's right. Why it's two separate. Okay. It is, bid is two separate.
Yeah. Even with the bid we have for the restrooms, though, even cutting out things, we're still over half.
That's correct. Yeah. Okay. The way it's structured is they gave us one price for the boardwalk and one price for the restroom work, and the restroom work was over half the value of the restroom.
And have we changed, what are they bidding on then? Are they bidding on the same exact plans?
For the restroom, they are.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're really, So as I was saying, that there's the basic restroom work, and then there's about three things that they can, that they gave us as bid deductions. Mm-hmm. And if you've taken away all of those, there's really not, at that point, they're really not doing,
it's not worth it.
It's almost not worth it at that point. I mean, if they're just, in my mind, you'd be spending a lot of money to not really address the things of, you know, bringing fresh air and getting ventilation.
Right. Right.
That's the biggest thing, isn't
that
it?
That is the biggest thing.
Virtually
ventilation.
Most everything else.
That's right. So, you know, and just thinking about it, with, you know, the building is kind of now at a point where it's not so awful that we couldn't make it for another year or so until the flood zones change.
And what will that do for us when the flood zones change?
Well, your 50% wouldn't come into play.
Well, it
does now.
It may. It's so, this thing, the way the new flood zone works is your floor has to be 3 feet above the ground in this flood zone.
In this flood zone now?
Well, no, in the future flood zone, I'm sorry.
Okay.
And I don't think we don't qualify for that, but we're not too far off. And in an A zone, you're allowed to flood proof, where that's not an option to make it flood compliant. And if it's flood compliant, the 50% rule no longer applies. So it could be that we have the possibility of just adding a gate to that front entryway. Right. Yeah. It would then be flood-proofed, and then the 50% rule would no longer apply, where flood-proofing is not an option in a V-zone. Okay. So it's a,
and when
we're not crystal clear on what the changes will mean.
And
for
that's
us.
2018?
So end of 2000.
End of,
yeah, so a year and 3 months away.
Okay. So when are these requests for bids coming due? Like what month? What?
So roughly? It's, we're trying to beat the council meeting of... No, that's not right.
In November 3rd.
Yes.
So
okay.
The questions is the 19th, and then November 3rd for...
Yes, that's right.
I have one other question.
Sure.
So what about resealing the floor? Where are we with that?
So the contractors that did that have agreed that something was amiss with their application, so they've agreed to redo it.
At no charge?
Yes, that's correct. Mm-hmm. So they wanted to do it during the winter, which
right.
Obviously works well. I would prefer that they actually do it at the end of this project, so we don't, you know, have them put in a brand new floor and then go to work on it. Mm-hmm. So the plan is for them to come at the end of this project and redo it.
So we're not going to do anything about it until whatever we're going to do.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Which could be years off.
Right. I wonder if we shouldn't go ahead and get them to reseal, since they're willing. And
well,
that's pretty bad.
It's possible, though, that we're going to have contractors in there working
two
or 3 months.
Okay. Oh, I just don't want to completely
so if
get
it's,
through the
okay.
bids.
Yeah, if the bids are less than 50%, the plan is to proceed with the work in the restroom. So that's what we're hoping will happen. If the plans are more than 50%, we're going to delay on the restroom, then I'd say we'd go ahead and redo
get the floors. Floor. Okay. Okay.
Do you have a guesstimate, what your gut feeling?
On what?
The bids. Do you think they're going
to... Who knows?
I think they'll be significantly lower than the... we had a budget amount, and our budget amount pretty closely aligned with Leolio's estimators guess, and I want to say it was in the 505-something range, and the bid we got back was... $750, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll be, you know, maybe our budget is not dead on and their estimator is not, but it has to be closer to our budget than.
So are we bidding the boardwalk and the outside separate from the building?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, it's one package,
right.
But it will be two prices.
We could award one or the other.
Yeah, mm-hmm. our old arrangement wasn't quite like that.
Okay.
You know, where it would have been tough for us to just say we only want to do this part of it under the old structure of the RFP, but now it is clear that we may do it that way.
Okay.
So we'll see. Hopefully, keep your fingers crossed we get good numbers back.
Okay, update on beach renourishment project.
So there has not been a lot of change on this one from when we spoke before, other than we expect that mobilization will likely be in the winter on that project. But everything is all the permits are established, all of the contracts are signed, and everything's on go. Also related to beach restoration, as you know, we have an emergency berm project underway right now. I sent you all an email this morning because we were hoping to finish the western end completely and then mobilize to the eastern end, which is the Beechwood East area where we've got some homes threatened. But all of those property owners in the East End were told they had to remove all their protection before we could mobilize to help them, and now we've had king tides, so we're having to sort of drop back and punt on that project. And this morning they remobilized to the eastern end and we'll start working there as soon as the tides and the weather will cooperate, and then we will have to go back. They have about 3 days worth of work still left on the western end, so we're trying to be reactive. In the future, if we have two contractors that are ready to go to work, next time what we'll do is award two separate contracts in each area. So this has been kind of a learning experience for us because we did have two contractors available and we went with the one that responded to us the most quickly. But in hindsight, which of course is 2020, we could have had two different contractors working on either end of the island. And so live and learn.
Right. You know, what they've done is phenomenal, and I mentioned this to you in your office, that we have public beach accesses, 5th, 6th, 4th, and whatever, and they're mountains. And so do we do anything to, you know, before they were accesses, now, mm-hmm. you know, they're 10-foot drop-offs. Right? So nothing?
All we can, that's in OCRM jurisdiction, so really okay. all we can do is let people, you know, sort of walk through them and
okay. they eventually make their own
right.
Yeah. Okay.
They'll settle down, especially with some of these tides too that we're having. So.
We'll see. Anything else on that? Okay, Patrick. Oh, sounded like you were going to say something. Okay. Update on underground storage tank replacements.
Desiree can take this one. We're some progress here.
Yeah, we received the bid documents from the engineer that we hired to prepare them last week. We were hoping to open the bid on Friday, but those documents required some significant editing, and we're still finishing that up today. So hopefully by this afternoon or tomorrow, we'll advertise it. We're shooting for the deadline for questions to be the 16th of October and the deadline for submission of the proposals on the 30th. I'm very confident that we'll still be able to make those dates. And then, you know, just cross your fingers again and make get good bids.
Yeah. Okay. New business? Nothing? Mm-hmm. Miscellaneous tenants report? Reports?
They're all current with their rent.
Okay, next.
The only thing I was going to say is just a reminder to everybody that the next marina project meeting is Thursday evening at the REC.
Yep.
From 5 to 8 p.m.
It's this Thursday.
What's that date?
The 12th.
Oh,
that might work.
Right, I've been telling everybody.
Oh my gosh, I play trivia at 7. It's going to be.
Thursday at the REC,
five to eight.
And both Kirby and
Scott
will be there.
I thought it was really well done at the marina.
Yeah,
I thought
very positive. I mean, positive from the visitor, the guests.
We hope so. Similar thing. I do think that this venue will allow us to have a sign-in sheet, which the way the one at the marina was structured, it wasn't really possible to track who all attended, other than just by memory.
Question on that, is there a way for someone to go on our website and leave a comment about the marina?
I think
some citizens thought there was gonna be a way.
No,
there isn't.
I'm 99% sure that we can't do that.
Okay.
But if that is something that, you know, there's, if y'all want that, I can check. I don't know what the intent would be to gather comments.
Yes, because we did that in the planning phase,
yes.
If you recall.
Right.
And
so I'm not sure if y'all are expecting that we respond to those comments or they're included in some sort of document that we address later.
Right.
But
okay.
I
speaking of reactions, you know, I've gotten some phone calls and I've clarified that we, as the city, did not provide food or any of that kind of stuff.
Right.
But the message out there is that the city was behind that, and I've done everything I can to dispel that.
Yeah. City had nothing to do that. That was just the hospitality of the tenants. You know, I guess, you know, wanting to show off their business. Right.
And good business. But right. I mean, right. You know, it was,
once again, no good deed goes unpunished.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
You know, but the argument was that, you know, we were trying to.
No, I think we made it pretty clear.
Yeah, there were signs.
There were signs. Also, and just everybody knows now, there's a place on the website where citizens can go to that we are posting everything related. Every time we develop another information piece, we're posting it there so that people can go to it and get the most up-to-date information. We do expect the second informational mailing to go out this week as well, and that will have a little more detail than the first one did.
Is it going to go out like today or tomorrow, or I mean?
Well, as you know,
Thursday.
We have the document will be available for people to get on Thursday. They're already printed and everything.
Okay.
But once we go to the agency that is helping us with the mailing, we're a little out of, you know, we're in the control of them and the post office then. So I can't really tell you other than that all the copies are made, the envelopes are ready, and we're ready to take it to them. So,
but that will be available at the meeting?
That will be available at the meeting, and we will post it, you know, on the website under Marina Enhancement and Community Revitalization.
Okay.
Next meeting is
November 6th.
Right. Big day.
Big day. The day before. Okay, 9:30. Is that good?
Yeah.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. No executive session needed.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.